You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin at Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the course of this day and bringing us here. Father, for those that are arriving, thank you for giving them safety in their travels, Father, without accident or incident. Father, we thank you for your word, which continues to guide and direct us in the way that we should go and how we should behave as your children. We thank you for that opportunity of being your children by your Spirit. Just help us to grow stronger in our faith and help others, Father, grow in their as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, so good evening.
Good evening.
And so we're going to continue with what we talked about last week, forgiveness. It's a rich conversation.
Yes.
And so, first, I want the foundational scripture for this week to be Matthew 5:43-48. How you doing?
Good.
And so, it's at the top of your paper, so can somebody read it for us, please?
We have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sin to rise on the just and the unjust. For if you lose those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. So does anybody remember that, now, my definition that I gave for forgive someone from last week? Or what do you think forgive means? From your memory.
Well, I'm gonna tell your definition.
Alright,
so
you got
two things you said. Well, first is to lay aside, to leave, to let go or omit. Mm-hmm. And then in I'm paraphrasing, you said forgiveness is making a decision to accept God's grace and let go.
Exactly. So you have to make a decision, just like with love. You have to make a decision to love the way God wants you to love, to accept God's will. But you also have to make a decision in order to forgive someone. It's a decision. That's the biggest thing. You have to make that decision. On the back of y'all papers, because I didn't put too many on there. On the back of y'all papers is a lot of lines for y'all to take notes, write all the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so,
PR, you click real fast.
We'll run through this real fast and get to where we were last week. Alright. So when is enough enough? When is enough enough? Before we get to that real fast, let's have a little trivia right here. How many times are we supposed to forgive? Somebody got the scripture.
Times seven,
right? And we know the scripture. Yeah, we gotta get some memory scriptures up in this thing. For real. I've been memorizing too, don't get it twisted. I got like 11 under my belt now. But 70 times 7, that's in Matthew 18:22. And so what does that mean? Since you didn't pray, what does that mean? What does that mean?
You see how he did you fool?
Over and over.
Over
non-stop.
And over. Nonstop.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I just want you to know, get a little more.
You have to forgive always. There's never enough.
It's never enough. To, mm-hmm. You have to be perpetually forgiving, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so are there any sins, anything that can happen to you that will cause you not to forgive? Is there anything so heinous or so appalling or crazy that will cause you not to forgive? That could. Now, don't get it twisted. Let me make this a better question. In this world, you in and of yourself, is there anything that can happen to you that can cause you not to forgive anybody?
Didn't you say last week that it was...
I was listening.
It's like if you reject God knowingly or like something like that.
What you mean?
Like if you like knowingly reject His word and his teaching. That was one reason. Am I saying it wrong?
No. You're talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which was a sign.
That's a big thing. That's something I want.
That's God. But not you. And
so my question, I'm rephrasing. So in and of yourself,
what he was saying, in and of yourself, most anything can keep you from loving him.
Yep.
Because of your flesh.
Oh.
But with the Spirit, you can forgive.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about right there. See, look, y'all gonna teach it today. All right, so basically, in and of yourself, it's gonna be very hard for you to operate and to walk in forgiveness. It's just because things happen to you. And just like we talked about, the biggest thing we talked about last time was
I have a question.
Okay. Well, Lisa. So my biggest thing we talked about was if you feel a certain way about something, if you have this malice or this resentment, have you truly forgiven someone? What you were about to say?
So my question is, you made a statement that the aspect of forgiveness, we ought to forgive, but we have the ability not to forgive, right?
Yes.
We have the ability not to forgive.
Yes.
It's a choice. So, in terms of not forgiving, what's the big deal?
Okay, so,
you
want me to answer this or you want them to go around real fast?
No, I'm just kind of like, go ahead, finish. Finish your thought.
You skipped ahead.
Hey, you did what?
That's a good question. So we'll get to it. Let's just run through this review real fast and get right to the meat things. All right. So I see y'all want to milk today.
Yeah, because you're doing your review. That's good. So, the thing was, there is nothing in Scripture that is specific to say that if this happens to you, then you don't have to forgive that.
Right.
Exactly.
And all the things that can happen to a person or thing, there is nothing. There is no sin that is exempt, or no offense that's exempt from forgiveness, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
There's none
exempt from it.
No sin.
What do y'all think? Now tell me, let's start naming some things out.
It's none for us, but it's one that God wants.
Yeah,
exactly. And which one is that? Because you just walked in right before we talked about it. Which one is that? We're going to quiz you.
You're not supposed to, and I don't even know how you would do it. You know, that's one that I think God knows, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit you can't talk dirt about the Holy Spirit, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that or... But that's what it says in Scripture, pretty much. But I wouldn't even know how you would do that. You know, I mean, because we get mad and, we get mad and we complain about, you know, God or you know, be like, man, this ain't true and stuff like that. But what?
What? You're doing it again and it's wonderful. You always open the can for us. So you're saying, first of all,
He just said, I don't see how you can do it, so how can
you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you mean?
Yeah, that's what he
said. Yeah.
Okay. So we got to deal with that.
Exactly. That's a big thing.
Because I don't see how you can commit, because basically what we're referencing,
has to be a way to do it, because God wouldn't have said he can't forgive that if it wasn't a way to actually do it.
But that right there, if we get into that, That has to be a whole Wednesday by itself. We will not finish.
But what is
it? See?
That's what I'm saying. It's probably a lot of people that don't even know, you know, how you would do that.
Okay, so I'm going to give the... What's that? Cliff Notes version?
There you go.
Okay. First of all, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit's job comes in three parts. The first part in John chapter 14 references, he convicts the world of sin. Jesus died. I want y'all to understand this aspect of God forgiving and then this sin not being forgiven. That's not the terminology that's used. In Scripture it says the unpardonable sin.
Mm-hmm.
never says anything about God not forgiving us. The issue of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has died for our sins, which means all of our sins are forgiven already, we just have to accept it, right? Everybody's sin is already dealt with. Is everybody on the same page with me? All sin has already been dealt with. The price for sin has been paid for everybody in the past, everybody in the present, everybody in the future. Wherever God says the stopping point is when we are caught up until that time, everybody's sin has been dealt with.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Forgiven. Holy Spirit comes down to convict the world of sin. In other words, causing men to identify and see where they're missing the mark of God, who has forgiven them, so that they can get back on track. By accepting what Jesus did, died for their sins, so that they can walk in the forgiveness already provided.
Okay.
You tracking? Everybody tracking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Jesus died, Holy Spirit is here, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, which means that we are showing people, we are speaking to people, we are directing people back to God, saying that is the way to go. The Holy Spirit, where that seed, the seed that is planted in every man, that seed of faith, that measure of faith, we talked about this before, opens them up to what the Holy Spirit is saying, that all that stuff you were doing wasn't right, but it was taken care of already. Will you accept it? Yes, I will accept it. I'll accept what Jesus has done for me. I will accept him now, not only for what he did, but I will accept him as my Lord and my Savior, and I will now walk in the new life that he has given for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I do that by faith. I do that understanding grace has been extended to me, and the Holy Spirit confirms it, right?
Yeah.
He confirms it. So now I'm walking in a confirmation. The Holy Spirit now dwells in me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is basically the Holy Spirit, when I said yes to Jesus, now lives in me so that I am empowered to do the stuff that we're talking about now, like forgiving people. Are you tracking? Mm-hmm. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is to basically say, what Jesus did, I don't want it. So when you die, God cannot accept you because the forgiveness for sins that was given for you, you rejected it.
Okay. And there's no change in that fact.
No transformation.
Once you're on that other side.
But even after, okay.
So that's what blasphemy.
I was doing that all through my 20s, but now that I've accepted, I'm cool, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's going to be a question that somebody's going to ask. Because, I mean, when I was in my 20s, like, nah, man, especially when I was a teenager, it was like, yeah, whatever, I don't want that.
But as long as you are alive and have opportunity, that's the grace. To be able to receive that.
Okay.
If you die rejecting, you're dead. You're no longer, not your flesh is dead. You're not no longer in a place to receive what was given for you in life. Sometimes this is a whole total sidebar as well, but that's how it comes sometimes, because I was raised, I wasn't raised Catholic, but I went to a Catholic school from second grade on, and they believe that they would pay priests to play their people into purgatory, which wasn't quite hell, so that it was a place where you can do penance and seek forgiveness and say, God, now I know you are who you are. I receive you, so they won't go to hell.
There is
no fear in you thinking that you black. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say to him, don't you think they get that from where he says, Jesus said that you'll go to the tortures and believe me, you won't leave until the last penny is paid. So I think they just twisted that.
Look at it in context. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is simply resisting, rejecting, and refusing the drawing, because it's the Holy Spirit that does the drawing, that draws all men, and to resist that to the point of even when you, if you die in that resisting, then you are subject to the judgment. That is a part, because there's no going back. It's just that some people make it bigger than it is, or make people fearful of it. It's not. And what you may have done in your teens, you're not there. You're not rejecting, so you're not walking in that. So that's the so does that make it real simple what blasphemy is against the Holy Spirit? Y'all good?
Yeah, I can
be good. Okay. So now if we go back to what Joseph, you know, was talking about in regards to forgiveness, and he was asking what things. Because you think when you start thinking of stuff, you think if somebody's raped, mm-hmm. murder. I mean, we're going to go big because we, when we think, you know, that, we think big things, and we don't understand how when somebody's killed somebody and you hear them say, well, I forgive them, they're like, what? Yep. You know, because we know the little things of lying and, you know, stuff like that, but murder, and you think, do you have to forgive that?
Exactly.
And the answer is yes. And then you think, well, why? That was so awful. Why would God command or call me to forgive that? But there is nothing that's exempt on that. Yeah.
God didn't always call us to forgive, right? He didn't always call us to forgive, because when I was reading the Old Testament, mm-hmm. the children of Israel, like if somebody killed somebody back in the day, in their time, the person, even if it was an accident, the person could escape to some prearranged city where they would have to live out the rest of their days in that city. And the family or anybody that wanted to get revenge on that person would have to respect that and couldn't go in there and kill that person. But if you didn't make it to that city in time, they have the right to kill you in vengeance.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Remember we talked about dispensation?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, forgiveness wasn't always, you didn't have to always forgive.
Remember what Jesus said? You had heard it said, an eye for an eye. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Said,
but
love your neighbors, hate your enemy. But I say to you, so dispensation, yeah, back in the day, the whole dynamic of God giving the right to exact vengeance, but then you got to look at the specifics of what Jesus, you know, God said back in the day.
And even with exact vengeance, there was times of sacrifice, offering things that have, then the years of Jubilee, like every, you know, the seven after every 7 years, how many times did we forgive? Peter says seven. No, yeah. I say seven times.
Seven times.
So the concept, he wants you to click it again. The concept of seven was that after so many years, you had to let go or forgive people if they had anything against you or they owed you money and things. It was like God incorporated in their customs forgiveness. Because it was not necessary or easy that people would want to do. They wanted exact. Back there is a part of their customs. God wants it a part of our nature.
Since he said that, we can jump around because it all flow together. All right, so you said that back in the day, even with the dispensation, because he said dispensations, but I'm still going to take it a step further and say, even back then, it was not right for you to exact vengeance or to retaliate against someone who did wrong to you. And we see that with, can y'all give me any stories from the Old Testament where we see that it was wrong for you to retaliate, for you to take it into your own hands instead of giving it to God? Do we have any examples besides Joseph? Because Richard gave us that one.
Jacob and Esau.
What's up with that one?
With Jacob's, you know, stole his brother's birthright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but didn't Esau want to kill him though?
Yes. He did. He was the anger, you know, that came from that, and after many years. But then Jacob wasn't involved in a bunch of stuff. Because that's why his name was Deceiver, and it needed to be changed. Jacob became Israel, but Jacob's name is that. But he not only did that, but then he had stuff where that he was deceived the same way. When he did, he thought he was getting one wife, and he ended up getting the sister first, Leah.
So what about and I like that one. But what about King David?
Oh yeah,
King David, and it's a story that I really never read about in church, but 1 Samuel 25.
Okay.
So talking about King David and Nabal and Abigail. Anybody heard of that story? King David and Nabal. Not to me.
Yes.
Of course, you know about all the stories.
Not all of them.
Most of them.
I should know them all, but I'm.
Anybody else heard about King David, Nabal, Abigail? What happened? This is in the Old Testament, right?
I haven't been reading nothing about King David.
okay. Okay, that's cool. All right, so in 1 Samuel 25, and I'm just going to give you a summary. And while I'm giving the summary, I want y'all to think about what was David's problem. Okay, so what did David do wrong in regards to forgiveness and any other aspects you can think of? What was David's problem? So David was running from King Saul. King Saul was trying to kill David, all right, for no reason. King Saul was anointed by God, and David was anointed by God to be the next king. So King David, understanding that King Saul was anointed by God, knew that I cannot kill this man even though he's seeking my life. So he's running from him. He comes to a man, and he's hiding. He's hiding in the caves, in the hills. He comes to a man named Nabal. Nabal is a rich man, a very rich man. He has 3,000 sheep, goats. He has all this food. And what King David did, at first, King Baal had his shearers, people that worked for him. And King David's men protected these men night and day. So King David's men made sure that Nabal's workers were protected. He made sure that they didn't get robbed or anything bad happened to his flocks. So then David sent men to Nabal because the day of feasting was about to come and his men were hungry. The 600 men, they're running from King Saul and his army. He sends people to go ask Nabal, you know, can you spare us some food? And so when he gets to Nabal, the servants get there, Nabal says, you know, he's running from his master. What am I supposed to do? Feed every man that comes and asks me for food. I already have people I need to feed. So on and so forth. So the news got back to David, and David said, I mean, I've been taking care of this man's stuff. I've been taking care of this man's people, and this is how he's going to repay me? So that means, fine, I'm going to tell all my men, get your swords. We're about to go and handle business. All right? So basically, he goes and he starts marching here. At this time, Nabal's wife hears about it, Abigail, and she says, okay, well, I understand what happened. So she goes and behind her husband's back, he doesn't know. She makes all this food and takes it to David because she understood that he was anointed and she understood that her husband was doing wrong. But my question is this, just from the little knowledge that we have now, we know David was protecting this man's people and that he was upset. He was upset because Nabal wouldn't bring him food. Okay, so what were some things that David did wrong? Because he was about to go and kill this man. I'm not going to get to the rest of the story yet. He's getting all his men ready to go and kill Nabal because he felt like you have wronged me in such a way. I protected your people. I asked you for some food. You rejected me. What is something that David did wrong? Now, don't get it twisted. If he's going by eye for eye, tooth for a tooth, I'm protecting you. He would have been justified in saying, yeah, I should go retaliate. Right. But what did he do wrong? It's two things in my mind. It's two things.
He didn't do nothing wrong.
David didn't do nothing wrong.
I don't know the story because I didn't read it, but from what you just said, he didn't do nothing wrong.
He got all the people to, I don't know, for me, he got all the people into his mess because of how he felt. He got all these people to take up swords and want to fight for something that happened personally to him. It wasn't personally to all these other men, even though I know in that time, whoever was like in the army was his, like whatever happened to him happened to those soldiers, but still, like, you were wrong and you got all your men involved in your beef for what?
He operated out of emotions. He got other people involved in drama. What about even before that? Because we're gonna hit that point in a second.
Okay.
What about before that? When you do something for someone, when you do something for someone, what's supposed to happen? What kind of attitude are you supposed to be giving it?
Like, you're not gonna get paid back.
A cheerful attitude.
No.
And you're not gonna
get paid back.
You're not gonna get paid back. So where is that in the Bible? Anybody know where that's at in the Bible? If we go to Luke 6:32, somebody read it, please. Luke 6:32. Because this happens all the time. Somebody owes us money. And then we go see them going on dates. We see them going to the mall. And it was like, man, you owe me $15. I don't understand what the problem is. How you paying your bill? You got gas in your car. And it creates a feeling of resentment, anger, frustration. And we know we're supposed to forgive, right? So if somebody got Luke 6:32 down to 36.
Okay. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful.
Bang. So King David, first and foremost.
I didn't know that was in the Bible. That's just something that...
You didn't write it down.
Like
write
my
it down.
Grandmother...
Your grandmother was telling you.
Yeah, I've always done that with, you know, friends and everything. Mm-hmm. When they ask me for money, I mean, I'm no fool about it. But when they ask me for money, I give it to them. I let them say, yeah, I'm gonna give this back, but I don't look for it back. And I've had probably all of my friends, I've lent them money and they don't give it back, and I don't let it affect the friendship. What I'm saying? It's like, you know, I gave it to you because I wasn't going to miss it anyway. But if you feel like you want to pay me back, I'm not going to stop you from saying, yeah, I'm going to give it back to you. Because if it come back, yeah, I'll take it. But you know what I'm saying?
Is everybody else like Keith?
No. They're about to say, you are. Yeah. When it comes to
because that's how I was first taught. So that's the way I always did.
That's good. But I'm saying, do you think most people like that?
No, because my sister is different. Some people are like, it's the principle of the thing. If you say you're going to give it back, I'm expecting it back. So they're more... They're more principled. I'm more relationship. You are more valuable to me as a person than whatever money I could give you.
So the person that's principled is wrong.
Wrong? You just said David. They're not justified to go kill somebody.
We have a whole different mindset. I'm thinking about your value, the relationship that we have. Your value to me is more valuable than some principle over this money.
We could still have the relationship, but I still want my money back.
What's more valuable? You're not thinking big enough. What's more valuable?
Exactly.
That's what we still have.
I think that's what you're going to do it again.
D, what you about to say? Because I'm principal. I'm principal.
I feel like you're taking advantage. I feel like if I give it to you, you say you're going to give it back.
But can I ask something? Is that where wisdom comes in? Because if someone asks you for money, and they're always asking you for money for the same amount of thing, like, after a while, you'll be like, you know what? You need gas money here. I'm going to take you to the gas station, and I'm going to put gas in your car. I'm not giving you that money.
Say it again. So, hold on. What you say? Say it again.
If someone asks you for gas money, you'll be like, all right, I'm going to take you to the gas station, and I'm going to fill up your tank since you need gas money. Really? But I'm not going to give you the money on the strength.
What is Jesus say about when somebody asks you for something?
They just finna say it here. They just say it. Lend and expect nothing back.
In return. That's what I'm asking.
I'm asking, sir.
Oh, okay.
My thought is, if I'm giving you something, if I'm going to miss it, I don't need to give it to you. Exactly. If it's going to be an issue where it's going to plague me to the point that it's going to bother me, then I don't need to give it to you.
Yeah. So you asked a good question before we address that.
If you're going to be in a hardship.
If it's going to be a situation where I'm going to have an attitude with you and it's going to affect my relationship with you, then I don't need to give it to you because I'm not doing it in the right spirit anyway.
Is it the amount? Because if I get somebody $1,000, I ain't tripping.
But to me, it doesn't matter what it is. If you come to me and say to me, I need X, Y, Z, if I'm going to give it to you, then in my mind, if it's going to be a hardship to me or it's going to affect my relationship with you in any type of way, I don't need to give it to you.
Yeah. Questions.
Because you got to take care of hardship first.
For instance, if you know you have $700 in your bank, you know you got to pay rent on the 1st. Today is the 30th. If someone comes to you and they say, can I borrow $50? You know that if you give this person that $50, that's going to mean one of two things. Your rent is going to be late, or you're not gonna have enough money to pay your rent. If you're gonna have an issue with that person and you're gonna hound them to the point where it's gonna cause an issue, why even give it to that person? If you know that you don't have it, then you can't give it.
See, and that's where wisdom comes in, because technically, you really don't have it, because that money is already spoken for.
Exactly.
Once that money gets into your account, there are some people that'll be like, oh, I'm going to use it for this, that, and the third. But technically, when your money comes into the account, like what you were saying, your money needs to be spoken for when it comes into that account. You need to tell your money where your money needs to go. So now I'm not going to give you $50, because technically, they're going to come and take the roof over my head.
No, wait, I'm going to go right, because it sounded like, see, when you say you got $700 and your rent is $700, you don't have the money to get somebody. But what you were saying at first was, if I feel a certain way about me giving it to you, which made me believe that it wouldn't matter if you had $1,000.
Well, the same thing.
Exactly. So you have more than what you need.
The same thing. Even if you have more than an abundant amount, if you're going to hold it against that person, then you're not giving it in the right spirit. It's the same thing as paying your tithes. If you're not doing it in the right spirit, you might as well not do it. What are you doing it for?
So you said wisdom, right? She exercising wisdom. What is wisdom? Where does wisdom come from?
Can I go back?
Let's go back.
I want to go back to there's a couple of things that was thrown out there that we overlooked. One of the things that was said was that if you give somebody something, let's not forget, we're talking about the issue of forgiveness. So, and we talk about money, which is very sensitive to us. Somebody said that when somebody asked me for money, it doesn't have to be, you just threw out gas money, so you've been specific. Okay, wisdom, I'll go get you some gas. That's cool, but sometimes it's not always like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just somebody's asking you for money, and it's not, be it $20, be it $50, be it $1,000. If you have it, let's just say if you have it, and somebody asks for you and tells you, I'm going to give it back, I'm going to get this back to you, and then 6 months later, you see them, they see you and kind of see you and kind of try not to see you. Y'all been there, y'all know how that is. And you know that. Not on the fact that you needed the money, not on the fact that it hurt you, but on the principle of, I'm going to get this back to you. And they don't give that grip back to you, and they see you, and nobody says anything. Do you forgive them for not giving the money back to you?
Yeah. Yes, can I ask a question?
Okay, wait, are you finished?
Oh, my bad.
Because that is easy the first time. What happens if they turn around and they ask you for more money after not paying you back from
Dude, why can't y'all see it? It goes back to, what do you value? Do you value this person or do you value the money?
I feel you. But that came back at, hey, now I need $2,500, bro.
You got to use wisdom in each situation.
So can I be like a lender? Can I be like a lender and say, you know what? You need $2,500. What do you need it for? Are you going to pay me back? If you are going to pay me back, what is the date that you're going to pay me back? If you do not pay me back, can I take legal action?
Can we read Luke 6:32 again?
No, because even in the Bible, it says you are to be, what does it say? You are to be the...
I want to hear this.
You are to be the slave. You are to be the lender and not the slave, right?
That's Proverbs
6.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. So since we're supposed to be the lender, we can do this.
How are you supposed to lead?
Okay, but here's the thing. We want to bring this back to forgiveness, like the topic for
7 years.
No. Okay. One of the scriptures that Joseph gave us last week in Matthew 18, where it's talking about the unmerciful servant. There was a servant that owed his master thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And the master came and said, where my money? He said, I don't got your money. Well, you going to go to jail. Well, no, you're going to go to jail. He didn't say that first. He said, you're going to sell your wife, you, everything to come up with this money. And then he fell out crying, oh, forgive me, da, da, da. And the master had mercy and forgave him the entire debt.
Okay.
And he left from his presence. Yep. And when he left from his presence, somebody that came and owed him maybe $100 as compared to his thousands.
Yep.
And he said, I don't have it. He fell on his mercy. He was choking the man, threw the man in jail. Mm-hmm. until he could pay the money back. When everybody around saw what he did, they went to the master, told the master, and the master said, oh,
that's how we
okay.
So it's not a borrow thing, it's a gift thing.
That's what we just said.
It's Matthew, right?
In Matthew 18, starting in verse
21. It's a forgiveness thing.
Because have you always paid all your debts?
Exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm like, why can't we use the same
18?
Like, okay, I don't know. But maybe you, I'm you just know like, if, no, we that, can, just if say, someone wants to be... No, I'll let you.
The Lord don't ever want you to be used like a doormat either.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying you. I guess I just keep on going back to the you wisdom thing. The wisdom thing. Yeah. No, it's the wisdom thing. It's like wisdom. Okay, back to what you were saying. If it's gonna hurt you. Now, when you say if it's gonna hurt you, I mean, is it gonna hurt you? Meaning in your pockets, or is it gonna hurt you? Relation. Like in your relationship,
it depends on how you take that, because that affects everybody differently. Me personally, I'm not talking about my pocketbook. I'm talking about as far as my friendship goes. I'm a people person. So if me giving you money is going to affect my relationship with you, then I need to pray on that. First of all, you should be praying on it anyway, because just because somebody comes to you doesn't mean you're supposed to give it to them anyway. So that's just me. But if it's going to hurt my relationship with you personally, then no. And I mean, I deal with this not every day, but I have a sister who's the older sister. But yet, every time I turn around, she can call me and ask me for gas money. She can ask me for things as far as my niece is concerned. But yet, you're booed up. You can't get to him, but you call. You constantly ask me. And I could easily tell her, no, that's not my responsibility, but that's my sister. And at the end of the day, I know that there are times, I know we're talking about money, but I don't just equate it with money. I equate it with anything. There are times I mess up and I make the same mistake over and over and over and over and have to ask God to forgive me over and over and over. He could say, didn't you learn from the first time? I'm not going to forgive you this time because I already forgave you for that, so I'm not going to forgive you again. I don't equate everything. I mean, I know we're talking about giving money, but I don't look at it as just giving money. I look at it as, and the wisdom part, I think what you're talking about is the whole thing about being a doormat. So there, now I've had a conversation with my sister and said, look, we need to sit down and look at your budget. We need to figure out what's going on as far as your finances are concerned. So maybe you don't know how to balance your money. Maybe you don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that may be a conversation that needs to happen. But again, if you're going to hold it, I guess for me, if you have to hold it over somebody's head about them owing you money or paying you back money, that's a problem, because you're not giving it in the right spirit. At least that's the way I look at it. If I give somebody money, I don't ask you. I don't expect you to give it back. I even tell you don't give it back. People tell me I'm going to pay you. No, I don't want you to pay me back. I give it to you because you need it or you asked me for it. End of story. I'm not looking for you to pay me
back.
But
if you don't give it to him, you don't want to give it to him.
You're not giving it in the right spirit. Okay, if you're thinking about it, like, if you have to think about it first, if it's going to hurt you or not, that's still not giving it in the right spirit, right?
I agree. That, to me. But I'm just saying,
No, I get what you're saying.
Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge and understanding. But back to your original question about me and David, it's nothing about that. It was as if I take Richie to school every day for a year. Alright, at the end of that year, I need to ride 2 blocks down the road, and he won't give it to me. That's the bottom line. Now, how do I feel about that? See, because it was like I've been taking care of you, taking you wherever you go, and then you get rides, and then I just need to go a little bit down because my car is broke down, and you won't even do that. That's where David was.
Yep.
In that position, it wasn't like blowing it. It was like I've been doing this and doing this and doing this with you, and I just asked for one little thing.
And he was right or wrong.
Huh?
He was right or wrong.
From the human standpoint, he was right. He was justified.
Right.
He was just ticked off. Like, I've been doing all this, and you won't even. It wasn't
that he couldn't
do it.
That's everybody. From the human, that's from the flesh, right? Yeah. But from what's the right way? Are we supposed to walk according to the flesh?
No.
So was he right or wrong?
He was wrong.
He was wrong. All right. And then back to the wisdom thing real fast. Proverbs 9:10 the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how do you know how to fear the Lord?
By respecting
him. Well, I mean, even more plain than that. By his word, right? And in his word, it tells you about...
It's a combination.
Yeah. It's a combination.
I said by respecting and obeying.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, his word. Yeah,
that's what I said, a combination.
Exactly.
So that we're all... See, because the issue is, so we're all on the same page with what Stephanie is expressing insofar as the attitude behind giving, be it money, whatever the case may be, our expectation has to be different. Wisdom dictates, you know, if I'm dealing with an individual that I know is an abuser, then I got to pray and ask God how to deal with that.
And that's what I was
in agreement with what you were saying, insofar as sometimes you got to stop and say, hold up, wait a minute. God, how do you want me to deal with it? Because it's still a relationship.
So I was about to ask.
So you're
like,
still operating in the right spirit.
Yes.
You're operating in the right spirit if you ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation?
Yes.
It's a Bible verse for that. It's a Bible verse for that. Yeah. See, if you write it down, Psalms 4:4. It says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still.
So you can get upset. What Stephanie was saying, that's what I was about to ask. I'm like, what Stephanie's saying, isn't that really a good spirit? Because she's like, you know what? I need to go to God with this before I do anything.
Right. Yes.
Because it's not ever going to be in the right spirit if I just jump off the gun and do it. But if I go to him in prayer and then his word, it's basically like he's your CEO. It's like, all right, this money is yours, like what you were saying with the 100% dedication. You go to him and you say, all right, God, this is all you. Everything, someone might have given this to me, but this is all you. So I'm going to take this and do with it what you want it to be done. And then someone asks you out of the blue, listen, I need this. And you're like, God, you said 100% dedication. All right, then you go to the word and you're like, all right, I'm checking all this. All right, here, I'll give it to you. And it may take 24 to 48 hours, but still, it's being done.
Go ahead, PR, because I got another verse for that. Go ahead.
I said, I'm going to be hungry by the time you give me
this. Go ahead, PR. Yeah, okay, so
here's the point.
But she just went right. Exactly. I'm not trying to be hungry, because sometimes it's an immediate need. Yeah. It's not necessarily.
I'm looking up
the scripture, but there is a scripture that basically says if a brother, someone comes to you and they ask you for something and you like, I'm going to pray for you, but it's within your power to do it. So if it's within your power to do, because some people say, oh, I need this, and you're like, oh, let me pray about it. They're actually not saying let me pray about it. They say let me pray for you. I'm gonna pray for you, knowing that you have a need and they can fulfill that need, but they choose to do the religious let me pray for you than meet that need. There's a difference.
So is it wrong to be like, if someone comes to you and says, I need gas money, you'll be like, oh yeah, sure, let's go to QT.
That's the first time. Okay, give it to them. But if they continue to keep it's a situation, it's something going on, then you can say, you know what, we need to have a talk, we need to pray about it. We need to say, you got my back, I need some help this week, blah, 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 or whatever, then that should be a different story. But if they come to you every week, we need to have a talk.
But if you are in relationship with God and walking out the Spirit before this, and I know your hand was up, Brittany, there are certain things we anticipate. Sometimes the things that we decide to do in our life, be it forgiveness, be it whatever it is that we're supposed to do, we plan out in our mind all possible situations that could happen, have happened to somebody else, and then we determine our plan of action. Rather than saying, God, this is what you have called me to do. This is the nature that you want me to have. Give me the wisdom to walk this out daily. So in every situation, on top of every circumstance, I will have the wisdom that's needed at that moment, the peace that's needed or whatever is needed at that particular time, because there's always going to be a myriad of situations and circumstances and things that could possibly happen. We talk ourselves at times out of the nature that God desires in us based upon the possible circumstances that could happen or have happened already. And that's dangerous because we reason with our situations more than we reason with the word that he's given with us to manage those situations. What were you going to say, Brittany?
I forgot.
What if we just need that time to look at our bank account? That's okay, right?
Yeah, but if you need that time to look at your bank account, then you don't know that you have it. It said that if you pray, if somebody asks you for something, and you know you have it, that's what I'm saying, right? Sorry. You said you need to look at it, then you don't know, right?
One of the things that I know that, and two things that we need to put in the blanks, man, on this. But one of the things with Ms. Tracy is saying that we do a lot of times in talking ourselves or reasoning ourselves out of the question is because we don't want to walk in unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially if it's a repeat customer.
Because it's true.
I'm just saying out of a personal experience. After a while, if you start to wonder, what's up with it?
Right.
And they're well, family like members. They're close. Yeah. And there is a need. There is something that's there that they need, and you don't want to feel like you're being taken advantage of. But at the same time, walk after the Spirit so you don't satisfy
the lust of the
we think lust in just in terms of, you know, but sometimes it's like gratifying the fact that I don't have to be mean to this person. Because if I don't do anything, then I won't be wrong. God knows our heart. I'm looking at you. Okay. Sometimes we don't do stuff because we don't want to be in unforgiveness.
That's what Keith started off the conversation, the topic of what was this rabbit trail that we went on, was that I value the relationship. That's how come I won't let XYZ happen, because you don't want to walk in unforgiveness. So there's different things that we do at times to prevent it naturally from happening.
All right, so just to keep going with that, at the bottom, where it says you don't marry blank, and we'll get the next three above it, but it makes more sense. You don't merit grace except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that goes hand in hand to what you can't extend grace except if you're walking through in the Spirit, which is going to, you know, that we already accepted the blood of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But at the same time, you have to be walking in the Spirit in order to do any of these things, to be able to receive grace or to extend it to others. If you don't do that, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be able to do this. The one at the bottom, Jesus said to forgive because that is the nature of his children. Hmm. You will know them by their fruit. Hmm. You can go to the next slide, P.O. So, what if I don't forgive? What if we choose not to forgive? Or we're not doing it, we're doing it outwardly, but not internally. What are the consequences of this?
You will not be forgiven.
That's in the motto of prayer. Yeah. It says,
forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
So some people don't forgive. I mean, they don't. They like, nah, I can't forgive that person for something. Maybe it cut them too deep, and they just, you know, they just being straight up. I can't forgive. You know what I'm saying?
Is that the correct way to walk as a believer in Christ?
No, because you can't forgive them by yourself. Yeah, you can.
You can't do it by any of yourself.
Yeah. Do the length count?
The length of what?
See,
of forgiving.
That's you what mean how much time? Yeah. When you say length, you mean how many times you have to forgive, you mean?
No, how long
it takes.
Like, how long did it take you to really forgive somebody? Do that count?
Is there like a guideline?
That's a good question.
It took me a long time to get over getting shot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't I didn't forget that person till like, that was in 2010. I didn't forget him till like 2014, 15, wow. Where I could actually not think about it without getting mad again.
Makes sense.
And people are dealing with that now, especially with generational curses, what mama did, what father did, what your brother did, or something or whatever. Some people are not so quick, especially if they're in a relationship with you. If they're in a relationship, you can smile at them all day long, but in your mind, you playing it back.
Mm-hmm. So does it matter the length?
I got an answer
for that. That's
a good question.
That's a great question. About me being his daddy, I'm faced with the little cute kid that goes tripping every song. That's her daddy is the guy that shot my son. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got to look at this cat all the time.
I just stay in the neutral zone.
Yeah, the light skin girl. That's her daddy. So that's when we say forgive.
That's a
I'm gonna stay in the neutral zone and just ain't got nothing good to say. I'm saying nothing at all. So I'm gonna stay right there.
How do you forgive?
No.
Yeah.
You gotta think about it.
And then
it's a process.
It's a process.
So well, I better wear knee pads and
shirts
under then.
But we all go. That's not judgment at all, but it is so real. Forgiveness is hard.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't read anything. Have you, Joe? Have you been reading that says what to forgive that it's an instantaneous, automatic? No. But it is the nature that just like we're supposed to walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. Do we find ourselves at time walking, doing different things that we ought not?
That's when this comes in. These three points. So what if I don't forgive? The first thing I'm gonna say before I tell y'all the feelings is, you know, go back to the example of. If you are constipated, walk with me.
Okay.
If you're constipated, why is it such a bad thing for your body?
Because
you're not getting rid of that waste. So right. when you're not forgiving someone, it can take as long. Remember, you must forgive in order for God to forgive you. That's number one. And as long as you're breathing, you have the opportunity, like Pastor Tracy said, in order to forgive. But God forbid that you stop breathing and you still haven't forgiven someone or some person, then, I mean, you're going to have that conversation with God about that. All right? And that's a big thing. So, yes, you take as much time as you want. But I'm saying the longer that it takes you to do it, the more and more that you allow those things inside of you to damage you even more and more, it's going to be even harder and harder to do it. So I would just say, I haven't read nothing either, but I do understand that it's better to forgive. It's better to forgive, and I would try to do it and work on it and pray about it and do it as soon as I can.
Person has power over you. Because anytime you see that person, your attitude is going to change. They are literally, you know, affecting your atmosphere when they going home sleeping good at night.
And we know guys come in like a thief in the night. So you don't know when you're going.
Let me piggyback on her. It's not so much that person has power over you. It's the enemy.
That's the first feeling. So you can go right with that. The first one is, so what if I don't forgive? Number one, we give the devil a chance to work on this. We give the devil a chance to work on this. You can put Ephesians 4:27. We give the devil a chance to work on this. Ephesians 4:27.
What
is the devil doing?
Yeah.
What's the devil doing? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Your happiness,
nothing
your
positive.
Peace of mind.
Everything. Can't sleep, can't eat, affects you in a whole bunch of different ways.
And right after this says, be angry and do not sin. This is 26. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So you can put really Ephesians
25 through 32.
So put the whole thing. And the subtitle for this is, do not grieve the spirit. And I'm going to read it real fast. So it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put far away from you. I put far in there. With all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so I would just say that as far as the timeline, anytime God gives a command, I would say that it's pretty urgent. I don't think he tells you something and then he expects you to do it on your own time. You have a choice, but I believe that if God tells you something and gives you a word or inspiration from God, that he kind of wants you to do it right then and there. So I feel the same way about forgiveness. You have a question?
And I don't know if you all touched on this, but is forgiveness different from healing? Because I think, like, to forgive a person, you still have to go through healing
I would say you get healing from forgiveness. They work hand in hand. I don't really think you can have one without the other.
Honestly, if it digs deep, if it's like what LaQuinta was saying, where it has stuff to do with like your childhood and things that you've been through and things that remind you, you may get into an argument with this person that's at your job or whatever, and what you didn't realize was there underlying that had to do with your childhood or your teenage, whatever, everything like that, where you thought you were over it or you thought, oh, I grew out of that, and you really didn't grow out of it. So it's healing.
Just because we forgive people doesn't mean that it supersedes the consequences that it may bring upon us or even them. For instance, if you hurt somebody, lost their trust or whatever, betrayed them, you forgive them, but there is a consequence. And I know it sounds oxymoronous because I said forgiveness before is pardoning them. And there is a pardoning, and you are not holding them responsible. You're not holding them to the judgment of whatever they did. But that still does leave, just like a woman was raped, or he was shot. Him forgiving that person doesn't erase the consequences or the what that did to him internally. He still has to deal with that. But by not forgiving, if he doesn't forgive, it causes other things to grow alongside of that hurt that already came. Bitterness, anger, resentment, malice, all of these things, which is not a good combination. But by forgiving, as you are dealing with those things that are internally that did hurt you, as a result of what was done to you, forgiveness allows the freedom for the Holy Spirit to be able to work and comfort and counsel you through that process. Because we act like because we forgive a person that we totally go amnesia off the hurt. That's false.
Exactly.
Just because you forgive doesn't mean the hurt goes away. It means that you're taking a step to deal with that hurt, and you are saying to the devil, I am not allowing this situation that just happened to me to be compounded with bitterness and rage. What's happened to me is not going to get 2 times, 3 times, 4 times worse because I choose to walk in unforgiveness, or I choose to hold on to anger, and I choose to do an eye for an eye and go back and forth, making it worse and worse and worse. Sometimes we aid in their own fire in our life being heated up 7 times more. And the purpose of forgiveness, it doesn't take away the hurt, but it starts a process. It starts the healing. Like he said, it goes hand in hand, but you don't have something else to attach onto that hurt to make it worse for you.
Exactly.
So even though it's taking time, I applaud you that you say that you got to the point that you forgive. And I would even say that you might have said years ago that you forgave him, but because you still felt hurt, you felt like maybe you didn't. And I think that's a pick of the enemy too. At exactly. times we make, because forgiveness is a decision, it's not a feeling. Yep. And we got to stop trying to feel right. like exactly. we've forgiven, and we got to know that we have made a decision. Exactly. It is a conscious decision of your will exactly. to yield to the Spirit of God, to yield to the Word of God. It is not a feeling. And some of us continue to walk around in condemnation, going around the same tree instead of getting healed, because we are questioning whether or not we've forgiven, because it doesn't feel like it.
Exactly. So, on the back, well, you got lines, so we can write these down, because the scriptures that go with everything she was saying.
We didn't do two and three.
Huh? Yeah, we're going to do two and three right after this. The scriptures that she just had that I want to deal with the same thing that we were talking about. Okay. The first one is Romans 12:19, Romans 12:19-21, and it says, "Beloved," and this is the same thing. It's the second issue David had.
Just go ahead and give us all the scriptures.
So cool. Then the second one was Ephesians 5:19-21. That talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:19-21, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. All right. Then let's go ahead and get the next two. So number two, we go back on the front. What if I don't forgive? Right? We are handed over to the torturers. We take that for what it's worth. We are handed over to the torturers. That's in Matthew 18:34. Matthew 18:34 says, and this is what the story she was talking about with the master. He pardoned him, but then he goes and does it to this next person. Matthew 18:34. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, or do if you, if each of you from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So I mean, that's red letters right there.
Just so that we understand, it's not that God is handing you over. He's just saying that what Miss Tracy just finished saying.
To those
that if you don't forgive, you're waiting on a feeling, then you multiply the issue of anger, bitterness, resentment, yep. and revenge, and all of those things. That's torture. This is because the premise of what we've been talking about that Joseph has laid out for us is this issue of suffering. And
it hurts to do
to
this.
To walk in unforgiveness. You are being tortured, and you're suffering for something that you don't have to go through.
I think then it just gave me a worse attitude if it came to another dude. If mm-hmm. I was gonna beef, yes, I knew what time it was. Like I wasn't even gonna play with nobody back then.
Exactly.
I didn't even. I ain't gonna lie to you. I wouldn't even have fought. Mm-hmm. You wasn't even gonna fight.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I know I had to let a few dudes know. Like mm-hmm. I ain't even finna play with you. Not then. Yeah. Now I can handle it way different. But not then, I wouldn't have handled it right.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's forgiveness. That's what forgiveness does. And like he just said, the torture is a thing such as fear, loneliness, depression, frustration, anxiety, even self-hatred. Number three, if we don't forgive, we cut ourselves off from receiving forgiveness. We cut ourselves off from receiving forgiveness. And write these scriptures down next to it. Matthew 6:12. Matthew 6:12. Mark 11:25. And then Matthew 5:23-24.
We cut ourselves off from
receiving forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness.
Joseph, you were about to read, ask for Pastor asked you to give all of them, and I think you should read it. Romans 12:19.
Mm-hmm.
You have it?
Yep, I got it.
Okay.
So Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Hmm. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
That's
all. That's all that we said, man. Everything we saying, I understand we feeling this way carnally. And we know we're supposed to operate out the spirit. If you want to please God, you can only please him in spirit and in truth. And you got to understand that wisdom, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Happening in this Bible is how you understand what the fear of the Lord is, and then you have to apply it. Okay. That means that's how it go. You know, I ain't telling none of my words.
Okay, I have two questions.
Shoot.
Okay, can you give some real-world examples of how to forgive somebody? Because I know it's easier to say, you know, I'm gonna forgive that person.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. So we can write these down here. Hold on, Joseph. Cool.
You said real world examples or
fine? Yeah, like, well, for your instance, like, how do you, like, how does somebody forgive somebody if they're in that position?
Man, I got an example. My brother got shot and he died five years ago. And the way it was done, it was horrible on both ends. And they're still pending trial, but as a family, we had to forgive him. It wasn't easy. His mom still deals with that. But we knew that if we continue to wallow or basically, like, don't forgive him, we know that we would not be in the right state of mind to this day. Like, it took a lot for his mother. It took a lot for me. Because I talked to him a week before he passed away. It was hard. Because the way it was done was horrible. And it was so bad to where they were deciding if they wanted to show his body at the funeral. So it took a lot because I lost my brother at a young age. And yes, it's still, you know, it hurts, but I dealt with it because I'm like, it happened. We had to forgive the dude. The dude was sorry.
But I understand that. Like, I know it's important to forgive people, but like, how do you
First we prayed.
Okay.
We prayed because we wanted, like, my family, the way my family is set up, half of them, they wanted to find this cat because it was a little town. You could easily, you know, he had friends that could take care of it, but we had to sit down. We had to pray. Even my dad is still dealing with it, you know, and we still have to pray because sometimes we think we've forgiven or it's emotions. And so the first thing we did was pray. It wasn't easy. It's still not easy, you know? But we knew that we didn't want all of that anger, because I was angry, very angry. But because my parents sat down with me and was like, we have to forgive. And we got to pray on it. Because at a young age, I'm like, what? Let's go, you know? Like, I was very upset. But again, we all had to pray. And continue to pray for my family, because it's still bringing up a lot of emotions.
I think what sometimes helps me, because I'm starting to find that forgiveness is a daily thing in my life. I have to go through everything, like all the emotions of it, which I know may not be right, but I go through all the emotions and I go through it real. Like, I don't sit there and be like, oh, Father God, my anger is so much right now, and Holy Spirit, I can't do that. I have to be real with my God, and I have to put everything out there. So, yeah, I say some words that aren't right. I go through everything. I go through the tears. I go through the anger. I go through the cursing. I go through all of that stuff. Sometimes only in like a few seconds, which is a little weird, but it's okay. I go through all those emotions, and then once I go through all the emotions and I compose myself, then I go to the person. So I don't try to let that person, and for me, for one person, it's easier because literally it's like a daily thing with this person where every day is a new thing that I have to forgive for. So it's literally like I'm walking through it, but what I've learned from God and from a woman that helped me out is that forgiveness is a daily thing, And you have to see that person where for where they're at. Because that's the hard part about forgiveness. You have to now take yourself out of it and look at that person's hurts and how broken that person is and everything that person went through. And then you have to come to them and say, you know what, I forgive you and I release you. And sometimes, most of the time, they don't even ask for forgiveness. Because they didn't even, they're like, listen, I didn't even do anything wrong. But you literally have to go to them, and even if you have to say, I release you from what Pastor Tracy was saying, I release you from the judgment, I release you from the from everything that should come to you, I'm going to release you. But literally saying release has helped me to say, I release you. It helps me to get through my head. All right, now that I've released him, God, he's really yours. For whatever you choose to do, I release him.
Okay, so that brings up my next question. So if somebody offends you and you forgive them, do they have to know you forgive them?
But sometimes when people offend you, it's not even them. That it's something in you sometimes. When I've gotten offended by certain things, that's why I've come to myself first and God, and I've gone through all my emotions, because sometimes when I get things out, I'm like, oh, shoot, Shayna, you should have not been offended for that. That was so immature, or that was not right, why you got offended for that. You got offended because of something else that had not. You could be mad at this person, but you bring it up what happened to you when you were 5 years old. Why?
But you can be offended for an issue that wasn't caused by you. Like, for so, in this case. But, yeah.
So what you're saying, that if you were offended and the person doesn't know, what was your question?
Like, if somebody offends you and you forgive them, like, right, and you're just living your life, do they have to know that you forgive?
No.
Forgiveness is forgiveness is a is
have
an
they
act.
Come to you? Yeah. If is they it? Came to, if they come to you and ask you, will you forgive me? Yeah. But I'm saying if they come to you, but if they don't, if they haven't, do you need to go and forgive them?
Like, yeah. Do you have
or
to
tell them?
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe you're not able to do that. You still have to, because you're carrying. See, it's the issue of your will and your emotion that they've done something to offend you, they've done something to hurt you, you have to forgive them. You may be able to do that to them, go to them and say, I forgive you. But sometimes you may not. The bottom line is, God is requiring it for your sake. It's like Joseph in the analogy, the issue of constipation, it's affecting you. Unforgiveness will affect you. They don't have to know. They may never know that you were forgiven. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, it's ultimately, it's for us, because we're acting out the nature of God. We're carrying and practicing a characteristic that God requires. And it's not easy, because we have this duality to our existence. Our spirit, which has no problem acting out what God wants us to do, and our will, feelings, and emotions that have to catch up. Mm-hmm. So that we don't get lost. We can forgive, and you can forgive immediately, but there's a process for your feelings and your emotions with real situations that come. So it's not necessarily that you have to keep forgiving, you have to keep forgiving. Maybe you do. But sometimes it's not a matter of keeping yourself forgiving somebody, but you have to
deal with
that. You have to deal with your feelings and your emotions. Because it's a real situation. Your feelings are real.
Yes.
And God is not asking you to reject your feelings or act like they don't exist or act like that person didn't hurt you. But he is asking you to manage yourself and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's in you, because you can. And like Joseph said, long suffering. Mm-hmm. This is a process. Mm-hmm. From the
that's
time that you say, okay, this happened, to the point where you say, okay, I really forgive him, doesn't necessarily mean that when you see him again, it's like, oh, buddy, hey, I forgive you. No. But God says now that you dealt with the root of what can create bitterness and anger, I can deal with your trust, and I can deal with your how you deal with other people if they come at you. I can deal with you now.
And you know why that's important too? I was going to say for you, Ernest, as far as that road, and I know for me knowing your spirit, I believe you would be this way. If it ever came to the person who did that to your son, and you had an opportunity to witness to him, or he was sincerely repentant of things of his life to come to Jesus, would you withhold that from doing that for him because of what he did?
I would.
Because the reason why I point that out is because unforgiveness sometimes blocks us from doing what God may call us to do for us all, walking in the grace of God. And I was so glad that Joseph pointed out that long-suffering, we like all the other fruit of the Spirit, but long-suffering we don't really necessarily want to contend with or deal with. Sacrifice and suffering is a part of life. Those of you that are married or are going to be getting married, you will learn, if you have not already learned, that sacrifice is a part of love.
Yes.
Sacrifice is a part of submission. Sacrifice is a part, it is involved in all of that. And so these are things that we have to walk out. Your initial question was, give me real life situations and circumstances. People can't, from growing up, just for myself personally, I can have had relationships where individuals in my family have done things that are not good to me. And I can have relationship with them now by the grace of God, by God's grace and merit of forgiveness of being able to deal with it. Not because I just all of a sudden there was like a genie and stuff went away. God dealt with those things within me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I matured, I learned how to not sweep them things under the rug, because sometimes people will tell you, put it in the closet, act like it didn't happen. If you don't deal with what's dealing with you, it's going to destroy you. And a lot of times we are told not to deal with it because we don't know how to deal with it. And how we deal with these things is we take them to the Lord. And I'm not being religious in that, like what she was saying, oh, Holy Spirit, help. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, God, this hurts. I am angry. This, it's not like he don't know it. That's why the scripture says your heart. Because we say a bunch of junk out of our mouth that we don't even believe. But in our heart, while we are blessing people, inside we are cursing them. And God sees that. He says, how can both come out of the same spring? And he doesn't want us to be walking around shining people on with our mouth because we're supposed to be Christians and I love you. But inside, if we could kill you, we would. And that's hurting us on the inside. And so practical things there, whether it's from family relationships, you know how many people within church that deal with incest, rape, adultery, all kinds of things that people have to deal with. But with the help of God and the ability as you are maturing to deal with those thoughts and those emotions and feelings that come up, that's how you walk it out practically. That's how you live and can have a nature of forgiveness, or the nature that God wants us to have. It's not an easy thing. It is every day. If the reason why I know it has to be every day, because his mercies are new every morning, because I need it every morning. We need to give it every morning. We need to receive it every morning. There are things that he gives us. I'm thankful for the 24-hour clock, because there are days or times where one day was hard as hell, certain days. And someone wise said to me, today is today, but it won't always be this way. Continue to stand. Continue to deal with your thoughts. Continue to do, because tomorrow will be different. And sometimes tomorrow was, and sometimes it took a couple tomorrows. But God remains faithful to his word. He will do what he says he will do. He will give you peace that passes all understanding. He said he didn't give us peace like the world would give it, because the world says you get peace by exacting judgment. God gives you peace beyond that. And that is how on a regular basis, so how you can forgive people. And as you're starting to go, about to be married next year, different things will happen. And forgiveness needs to be a part of your marriage, because if you don't allow forgiveness to be a part of your marriage, then bitterness is going to take root and you're going to have a bunch of mess and you're going to pass it on generationally. And life is difficult, and everything that God has called us to do is not easy, but it's necessary and it's worth it for our benefit. He's the one that gave us every single organ in our body, the ability to breathe. There are so many people that are sick in this world, and I believe a lot of it is because of unforgiveness, things that are backing up in their bodies. because of bitterness and other things that are affecting their organs. They can't sleep at night. Because they can't sleep, that's affecting how your brain functions. It's changing your chemical hormones. Because you can't sleep, it's affecting your functions of your heart. Because you can't sleep. I mean, you can just go down of the list of the effects. One of the things that Joseph said, torture. You are torturing your own self when you think it's better to allow yourself to continue to experience the pain than allow God to allow you to experience a peace that can come from letting it go. It's not easy. And I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but I speak personally of knowing what it is to walk through forgiveness, not only forgiving, but being forgiven. One of the things that you said, sweetheart, that I do want to say is that sometimes it is good to be able to let a person know that you forgive them, because there is a freeing when you have hurt somebody and they say to you, I forgive you. That's a weight, because there is also a pressure upon those that offend you at times. We forget that. We think that they have no pain, no pressure, no hurt for what they have done. Sometimes some people don't. But a lot of times people are walking around with the burden of knowing that they have hurt you from your childhood, from your adult life, and there's no relief. Just like there's no relief for us at times thinking that God's going to hold us accountable for everything. But when he says in his words that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, I don't know about you, but that is a burden reliever for me, to know I don't have to walk around continually in shame. And it's a burden reliever for the other person sometimes that needs that forgiveness from you. So I think at times, if you don't have to continue, oh, I forgive you because you said this to me in a workplace all the time or wherever, because sometimes people don't even know it, but you need to check yourself. But there are times where when someone has gravely hurt you and you know they know it, that you can, it's okay, it's necessary to tell them that you have forgiven them. Just as God has done that for us, for burden removing, for weightiness of their life, because you carry a weight for what it's done to you, and they carry a weight as the offender.
So, now I'm fine with that. End of the day, man, act like y'all know what God done for y'all. And so, if something if something's bothering you, you should, like Pastor said on Sunday, Psalms 126:3, and the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. New King James Version. So, I mean, act like you're glad. I mean, attitude is everything. At the end of the day, as believers, we can't do these things by ourselves. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We can't operate in the flesh and achieve these things. We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to choose to be led by the Spirit. It takes more strength to forgive than to remain hostile. Mm,
that's true.
Attitude is everything, and that's a choice. We need to treat people better than they deserve. Mm-hmm. That's the resounding message. And then lastly, the world is watching the lives of Christians to see whether we are truly different because of the gospel. Are we really the salt and the light? Are we out here, you know, still harboring these bad feelings and not really change? So understand, people watching you. And so they blood on your hands. If you turn them off from the Lord because of how you acting, they saying, oh, they say this thing, but they don't even forgive this person that owed them $20. You know, they can't even let go of their dad, the problems they have with their dad for years ago. So, I mean, this gospel thing, I mean, is it really working? So you got to make sure that you understand people are watching you and understand that even with all the bad things that happened, Romans 8:28, and we now know that all things work for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So, I mean, just like that. Just like that. How can y'all word? I just encourage y'all to do that. And I'm going to ask.
One thing.
That's a bit.
That last verse is what I was going to say. And all the forgiveness, that verse was never used. Mm-hmm. But if you use that verse, of whatever happens, you got to find the good, and what, and you got to ask God, what are you trying to show us? Some way, somehow, I don't care. Of all the tragedies we've seen, the shootings and whatever, what has happened that was good out of it? Something happened good out of it. Even from Trayvon on, a lot of things has happened that's good. So if we can only see what God didn't do, You never see what he has done.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And if you see what he has done, it's much easier to forgive. Because this is what the Lord has done.
Whoa, Mr. Kenneth, say that.
Yes. Yes.
What? You said if
we only see what
if you
God
only see what God hasn't done, then you don't ever see what God has done. You always focus on the bad. You never see the good. There's always good, no matter what it looks like.
Mm. I take that like that, but I also take it like there could have been a whole lot worse.
Yep.
And we don't see that God is, he's withheld his wrath a lot of times.
Because I was who was that I was talking to? That might have been Richie that I was talking to. I was saying that I don't know, but just my thinking when it comes to you reap what you sow, I don't even feel like I'm reaping all of what I've sown. You know, it's like the grace that you've given me.
Wow.
There is still a level of reap what you sow, but the fullness of what we should be reaping from some of the stuff that we're sowing, we're not getting all of that.
Yes, sir. You know why? Because you all have the sins you reap because you accepted Jesus your Lord and Savior.
Grace.
So you're going to reap what you sow. Grace. That's the fruits of the Spirit. Grace. So you're getting what you're supposed to get.
Richard.
Yes.
About that.
Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together to fellowship and talk about your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to be able to make the decision to forgive, Lord, to be able to treat people better than they even deserve, Lord, because we remember that you did that for us first. I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for everything you're doing, not just for me, Lord, but for everyone in this room. Lord, we accept that, we see that, and we love you for it. We love you regardless. I thank you that you're continually helping us, blessing us during our weeks and the things that we do. Lord, I pray then that the people that we interact with this week, Lord, that we would be able to be a blessing to them through you, Lord. I pray that you help us to operate in the spirit and not by the flesh, Lord, knowing that we cannot do it within our own strength and within our own power, Lord, but that we need your power to do it, Lord. I pray that you continue to show us or reveal to us the truth, Lord, so that we can walk in it for the remainder of our days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are dismissed. Somebody, something.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.